Welcome to 721 Live. I'm so glad you're with us today and joining us to listen into the show. I'm Sam Hunter. It is going to be a good show. It's Friday. The weekend's here. Can I get you to slow down just a minute and maybe spend the next 30 minutes with us, getting a little closer to the Lord, listen to what He might have to say to you, to your heart. You know, He's always there to speak to our hearts. If we'll just slow down and listen. He's such a great Heavenly Father, and He has so many wonderful things to say to our hearts, and sometimes to convict our hearts, and maybe your heart will be convicted today. If you're driving down the road, block out some of those distractions and listen to what God might be saying to you. And if you're listening to us online, again, put that to-do list aside and put all those different things that are running around, all those different thoughts, and just say, Lord, what can I hear from you today? Because He always has things to speak to our heart. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors for today's show, Bullhogs Barbecue in Pauline, South Carolina. Harold Jennings is a friend of mine and a supporter of 721 Ministries. They got the best barbecue. I tell you, he caters some of our lunches when we do them over in Spartanburg, and it is just fabulous barbecue. And he can do barbecue. He can do barbecue chicken, pork. It is so good. As a matter of fact, his sauce, he bottles his own sauce, and my daughter likes it so much that I got Harold to give us two extra bottles. So we put it on just about everything. You put it on shrimp. You can put it on chicken. It is so good. The food there is delicious. And these folks are Christians. They start the day off praying, and it comes through when you visit their restaurant. Call Harold or manager Kathy Farr at the restaurant at 585-7222. That's 585-7222. Or go to their website, www.bullhogsbbq.com. Let me spell it for you. BullHawgsBBQ.com. Good food, good people. And our other sponsor, Spencer Hines Properties in Spartanburg, South Carolina, commercial realtors extraordinaire, professionals, great folks, and we'll talk more about them in a minute. You can always catch recaps of what we talk about on the radio show and what we talk about during the week in our different ministries on the Putting Green, which is on our website, 721ministries.org. That's 721ministries.org. You'll see the Putting Green link, and you can go and find a vast array of different articles that we post on our site and find out what we're talking about and where our interest lies. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries, and our focus is for you to understand what Jesus means in Matthew 7:21, 22, and 23 when He says, on that day, judgment day, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And Jesus says, and I will tell them plainly, away from me, you evildoers, I don't know you. In the modern-day translation, is a lot of us are going to line up in front of Jesus and start just listing off the things we've done. We've been a good Rotarian. We built Habitat for Humanity houses. We gave some money here and there. We went to church pretty much, and maybe we went a lot. Maybe went to the Bible studies, even taught Sunday school, might have even been a deacon. And if we're not in a relationship with Jesus, if we don't have an intimate knowledge of Him and Him of us, He'll just stop us right there and say, I know you did all those things to make you feel good about yourself, to look good to other people, or to satisfy this checklist sense of religion, but we don't know each other. I don't want you to be that person. Be sure that you have that relationship with Jesus, that you know Him and that He knows you. We'd love for you to call in with any comments or questions you may have. 888-660-9535. 888-660-WLFJ-9535. Love to have you call in. Last week, we were talking on the show about what is really of the utmost importance in our following Christ. And there's so many things that we could dispute about, over, we could debate. God says a lot of those things fall into the non-essential category. And what we laid out was four really just root essentials of the faith, tenets of the faith. Number one, the authority of Scripture. So important, the authority of Scripture. Number two, that Jesus lived, died, and was buried dead. Number three, He rose from the grave. And number four, He's coming back. Now, there's 100 layers under each one of those tenets of the faith, but if you lock onto that, if you appropriate those into your life, then you can start studying the different details underneath each one. But in order not to get too confused or bogged down in disputable matters, lock onto those four. And the last one, He's coming back. It makes such a difference in my life knowing he's coming back. And it can make such a difference in your life. If things aren't going well, he's coming back. If money's tight, he's coming back. If you made a huge mistake in life, he's coming back. If your children are gone awry or marriage is not going well, he's coming back. What a great comfort we have. The other thing that we talked about last week was we want to understand, number one, who Jesus is. And whenever I get into a conversation and someone wants to major in the minors, they say, well, yeah, but what about? Or I can't really embrace this idea of Jesus or God, a loving God, because of all the pain and suffering. I'll say, well, you know, I understand that, and we can talk about that. But that's majoring in the minors. Let's check on the majors first. Who is this guy, Jesus? Investigate that and come to terms with him first and put all that other stuff aside until you get that straight. And the second one is who we are. Who we are in the face of a perfectly holy God. Yes, we are loved, but we are also sinners. And we're not just sinners that need a paint job or a little polishing up. We're sinners, and we're not sinners that just need an addition to the house. We need a whole house renovation. We need to be stripped down to the studs and brought back up. I used to be in the renovation business for years, and that we had to do that often, just take it all the way back to the studs and start back up. A paint job wouldn't do it. We are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. No matter how good, morally good your life may be, we are all sinners. But yet, we are also loved by our Heavenly Father. Today, let's start off by thinking of two things that we as followers of Christ, or let's just say we as humans, we want to be sure that we understand. The first one is salvation. Let's don't miss that. We want to be sure that we have secured our salvation through Jesus Christ. Don't get too busy in life to miss that. But after that, if you've got that, if you've got that relationship, then Jesus wants for you an abundant life. He wants for you a life to the full. And so what I want to talk about today is how do we have that? How do we achieve that life? You see, I want to challenge the perception that following Christ is so hard. And it's such, you know, if I threw out words and asked you, you know, what comes to your mind when you think about following Christ? Somewhere in the back of your mind, the word monk would come up. Or what that means, you know, that harsh life, that life that you have to abandon anything that's fun or nice or any of the colors in life. That's not what Jesus taught. Now, yes, definitely, when you follow Jesus, there are challenges. And yes, anything worthwhile in life has challenges. And there's discipline involved. And you can dig and dig and dig and get closer and closer and closer. But I want you to view it through a different prism than hard and challenging and monk-like. I want you to view it through a prism that we're going to talk about today. Four words that you'll see in just a moment. Power, fullness, lavish, and riches. Those are God's words to us. Those are Jesus' words to us. You see, the reason I want you to shift your perception, the prism through which you view your following Christ, is if your perception is that it's hard and dreary and always a challenge and really just not much fun, then you will not embrace it with the passion that you really want to. And then when you do embrace it with that passion, you start to see the richness. You start to see the lavish love of our Heavenly Father, the power that's available to us, the fullness of life. But if you have that perception, that negative perception, you'll stand off a little bit. You won't pursue it. And you'll miss that abundant life. You know, Jesus, and you're very familiar with this, I'm sure, is quoted. John quotes him in chapter 10. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Now think about the imagery of that finding pasture. That's an abundant life. That's a good life. That's a rich life. He goes on to say, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I might add parenthetically, to mess up your life. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And have it to the full. That's what Jesus wants for you, a full life. I want to read to you from Ephesians. This is God speaking through Paul. I'm going to pick it up in chapter 1, verse 7. Listen to these words now. In him we have redemption through his blood, Jesus. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Do you feel that in your Christian walk? Listen to the prayer that Paul burst out into in verse 17 of the same chapter 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Listen to the words coming up. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Isn't that beautiful? The eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The riches of his glorious inheritance, his incomparably great power. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened to see that. That's what I pray for you. You see, if you did a word association, you might not come up with power and fullness and lavish and riches. But it's there to have, and it can have such an impact on our lives. Now, I want to tell you how this sort of coalesced in my mind over the last few weeks. I've had some conversations with different people. I had hundreds of conversations, but there were three different men, and I kind of call this the tale of three men. The first two were in their late 50s. The third was in his early 80s. The first two were, they just didn't exude much joy. Now, number one was bitter. He was easily irritated. During our time together, it seemed like anything that came along got on his nerves. He frowned a lot. He fussed a lot. I could just feel the negativity coming off of him, the bitterness. Now, all three of these men, let me say, have enough money. Money's not an issue for them. Health is not an issue for them. Yeah, everybody takes hits in life, but from a basic needs, they're all fine, all three men. Number one, bitter, irritated, easily frustrated with what's going on around him. Number two, not that bad, but in relating one conversation to me, you could just feel the anger coming out from deep within, a sort of a simmering bitterness that you just know was in there. But number three, man number three, seemed to just have so much peace and seemed to have an amused view of life, a happier view of life. He had that sense of joy that we talk about, a pervasive sense of well-being. Life's just good. Life's okay. All three of these men tell me they're Christians. I don't know. Maybe the first two are. They certainly knew the lingo. They knew how to talk about it, but I don't know. But number three, boy, could you feel it. And I wonder how he got there. I wonder how he lived his life to get to the point of 80 and feel that way. He related a story to me while we were chatting that's something that happened that irritated him greatly. And that, you know, had every reason for it to irritate him greatly. But you could just sense as he related the story that it didn't stick to him. It wasn't a bitter thing for him. It was just an observation. He was going, I wish it hadn't happened that way. And it almost, you know, you can just sense the difference. And that's who I want to be. I want to be number three. I don't want to be number one or number two. I want to be number three. How are we going to get there? You see, I found myself walking my golden retriever around the neighborhood 3 days ago, and I was at a spot where the cars come through pretty fast, and a guy was coming around the corner, and I found myself glaring at him because of how fast he was driving, glaring at him. And then I realized, I know this guy. Oh, I was so embarrassed. And I realized, I'm number one. I'm guy number one right now walking around the neighborhood with my golden retriever. And I said, I do not want to be that way. We're going to break. We'll be back for part two of the show. Stay with us. Welcome back to part two of 721 Live. I'm glad you're with us today. Before we get started, I want to thank our other sponsors, Spencer Hines Properties in Spartanburg, South Carolina. These guys, again, personal friends of mine, supporters of 721 Ministries, Lynn Spencer, Ben Hines, and all the guys over there. I know a ton of them. They are so professional. They do such a great job. Commercial real estate can be risky, rough and tumble. Sometimes it can be very difficult. But these guys are true pros, years of experience. They know what they're doing. They know how to deal with in business. Christians, I very much encourage you, if you've got any kind of commercial, industrial, any kind of real estate need, take a look at the Spencer Hines folks. Give them a call at 583-1001, 583-1001, or check out their website, SpencerHines.com, SpencerHines.com. Good folks, good professional realtors, and good friends of mine. We're talking about how do we have a life as Christians that is powerful, that is full, that is lavish, that is rich. And I was telling you as we finished part one, I want to be guy number three. Talked about three guys. Number one and number two, bitter, carrying a lot of anger, not really happy, certainly not exuding the joy that we have the opportunity to have when we walk with Christ. Number three has that pervasive sense of well-being, just peaceful, good guy, notices things when they aren't going right, but doesn't, they don't grab him. Well, so I'm walking around the neighborhood, and I see a car coming by, and it's going kind of fast, and it's a beautiful afternoon. I've got my golden retriever. How good do you want it? And yet I glare at this guy because of how he's driving. It turns out he's a friend of mine, and I was so ashamed. I realized I'm guy number one. And I don't want to be that guy. So the last 3 days that I'm walking my dog around the neighborhood, I'm waving at everybody that comes by. I'm going to make sure I wave at everybody. And it does, you know what? It feels better to do that. It really does. So when I look at the guy number three who's already in his 80s and the other two guys are in their 50s, and I wonder, I ask the question, is where are you going where you want to be when you get there? Is where you're going where you want to be when you get there? Because we're in our 50s, you may be in your 40s or 30s or whatever, but you're headed in a direction, and if you're on the track of life's hard and trying to follow Christ is hard and it's just too much, then you're not going to end up as guy number three. You're not going to have that full life that Jesus said, I've come to give you. I think about this. See, cares are coming your way. They are going to hit you. Difficulties are coming. Jesus talked about being like a child. He said it over and over. Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, let the little children come to me, for theirs is those. That's what the kingdom of heaven is all about, being childlike. And children are carefree because they know their Heavenly Father is going to take care of them. Well, we're adults. We've got cares that come at us that can be serious cares. We can't minimize that, but it's what you do with those cares when they come your way and how quickly that you do something with them. Your Heavenly Father says, cast them off on me. Throw them off on me. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you, because he cares for you. The Greek word for that cast off is the kind of word you'd expect Peter to use since he's a fisherman. It is a Greek word for throwing a net out into the sea. God is saying, throw those cares towards me. Release them. Don't let them stick to you. That is the way we find that abundant life. Now, you may think, well, Sam, you're talking so much about this life to the full, this abundant life. Is that all you, you're just worried about yourself? Well, when we live that kind of life, we are wonderful witnesses for Christ. We are showing what it is to follow him. We are glorifying him. Did you know that the Greek word for glorify, when it's most often used in Scripture, means to accurately reveal? To glorify God, to glorify Jesus, is to accurately reveal who he is. Jesus said, I've come to glorify my Heavenly Father. He was accurately revealing who his Heavenly Father is. That's what I want to do. If I live life to the full, then when temptation comes my way, instead of gritting my teeth and self-disciplining my way through it, I just say, you know what? No thanks. I'm full. Yes, that looks good. Yes, I recognize that might be tempting, but, I'm full. No, thank you. When fear and anxiety come my way, and they do, they come my way, they come your way. You know what? I see that that's scary, and I'm going to have to deal with it, but I'm too full to let that penetrate, to let that stick. God tells us in 1 John 4, verse 16 and 18, there is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear. There's just no room for it when you're filled with God's perfect love through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is manifest in your heart and in your life, you are full. And when you're full, you're free to, you're much more powerful to back away from those temptations, to push fear and anxiety away, and you have so much more power to choose wisely. My daughter went to the grocery store the other day. She came home and several bags. She said, I made a huge mistake, Dad. And I said, well, what's that? She said, I went to the grocery store hungry. I went to the grocery store hungry. And we all know what happens to the grocery store hungry. You buy a bunch of junk food. You buy things that you don't really need. It's the same way in life. If you walk around life hungry, empty, because you haven't been filled with God's love and his Holy Spirit, you're going to be buying the junk food of life. You're going to be making poor decisions. But when you are full, then you just look at things and go, I know that, yes, that used to have a hold on me, but no more. Thank you. I'm full. How do we get that? We can't we can't imitate. There's a thing that Dallas Willard said. He said, it's not by imitation, but by inhabitation. Not by imitation, but by inhabitation. Being inhabited by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus' love, God's grace. Not imitating Jesus. You can't do that. Or even imitating the good life. Guy number three, I can't imitate him. Even he's not imitating somebody else. It's coming from inside of him. Jesus knew that. You know, I used to be in the subdivision development business, and we were doing a community that had some little lagoons in it next to a golf course. The golf course manager and I became friends, and he said, Sam, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll dye the color of your water in your lagoons. I said, really? He said, yeah, that's what we do on all our golf courses. We dye the lagoons so they look so pretty. So he did. Now, do you think that dye lasted forever? Or do you think I had to replace that dye? I had to keep coming back and dyeing that water. Well, see, in life, a lot of us try to do that. We try to dye ourselves. We try to change our colors. Maybe try to put on a positive mental attitude and a face, a smiling face and all that. But Jesus said, no, it's changing the source. Changing the source, not the color. You know, when Matthew, chapter 12, Matthew records Jesus saying, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Man number one and man number two of my example were bringing up evil things out of the evil stored up inside of their hearts. Now, they weren't evil people. But they were bringing up bitterness and anger and frustration because it's stored up in their heart. Man number three is bringing up good things because he's got good things stored up in his heart because he's appropriated God's perfect love into his heart. What a wonderful thing. You know, Jesus just says something that's so neat in John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within me. You won't have to die that water. That's living water. It flows from within. It's not by imitation. It's by inhabitation. What a beautiful concept. And we can have that. I want you to start viewing your Christian journey through a prism of power. And fullness, and lavishness, and riches that your Heavenly Father has for you. That power that you can have through the Holy Spirit inside of you, that will give you power over. It will give you power over certain things. It will give you power over Satan. You see, when Jesus was standing next to Pilate, and Pilate was pumping him with questions, who are you, what's going on here, and Jesus didn't bother to answer any of those questions, and Pilate said, don't you realize I have the power over you to save you or to kill you? Don't you realize I have that power? And Jesus looked at him, and you remember the words, I love it, I could just picture Jesus, whether he had this look on his face or whether he was just thinking in his mind, oh, Pilate, you don't have a clue. You are so out of touch. You would have no power over me if my Heavenly Father didn't allow it. You have no power over me, Pilate. My Heavenly Father has allowed you to exercise this. And if we can realize that the power that we have and the power our Heavenly Father has, when things come our way, when Satan attacks us, distracting us, just trying to discourage us, trying to deceive you, if you can say, you know what, Satan, you have no power over me. Yes, I know that this is a difficult thing. It's scary. I don't like it. But God has allowed it. And so, you know, what his intention is to bring good out of this, to grow me, to make me stronger. What a wonderful concept we have from our Heavenly Father, a life of power, a life of fullness, a life of richness when we tap into the Holy Spirit. God tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Man number one and man number two, I think, are controlled by the sinful nature. Not saying they're bad people. They just aren't. They don't have the power of our Holy, of our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit inside. Man number three, that's who I want to be like. My mantra in life is I don't want to be number one, I want to be number three. That is what I'm starting to gauge my life, and that's what I want for you. I really want you to listen to what your, these are your Heavenly Father's words. These are not mine made up. Power. Incomparably great power for those who believe. The riches, the lavishness coming from our Heavenly Father. A full life so that you no longer struggle with temptations and all those things that come your way, fear and anxiety. You just say, no thanks, I'm full. No thanks, I'm full. Folks, each week we publish on our website a recap of this week's topics. We call it the Putting Green. So go to our website, 721ministries.org. That's www.721ministries.org. I want you to live a life of power, of lavishness, of riches, a full life that your Heavenly Father wants for you. So long. God's peace to you. Hope to see you next Friday.